Praise forever to the King of Kings. Lord, we praise you. Today we celebrate your resurrection, but Lord, we celebrate it every day. Every breath we take, we celebrate your resurrection. Because of you, we live. Receive today our praise and our thanks to you. For you, Lord, have given us life. You are the resurrection and the life. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Lord. You may be seated and open up your Bibles with me, if you will, to John chapter 11. We're going to continue today our series, and we've got a couple more left in this series. How many of you have enjoyed the I Am series? Anybody? Yeah. 12 of you. Thank you. But it's been, you know what? I probably have gotten way more out of it than anybody else just doing the dive in it myself. But it's just amazing as Jesus declares himself to be God and reveals himself in so many amazing, powerful, and beautiful ways in Scripture. Today we're going to talk about where Jesus declares that he is the resurrection and the life. But if you've read this story, and I don't know how long maybe it's been since you've read it, but if you've read this story, just renew your mind with it this week. How many of you like movies? Anybody like movies? Okay. Five of you. So it's, I feel better, though, because I know that a whole lot more of you do. It's just that, you know, I understand you don't want to respond because you don't want anybody knowing. But it's okay. I'm not gonna, but no, if you think about a movie, if you think about all the things that just draw you in, they're in the story. I mean, there is potential murder because there's some Jews that want to kill Jesus. We don't know. There's also intrigue. There's mystery. We don't know what's going to happen, but it's a love story full of compassion. At the same time, it's a story of disappointment in that love story. It's amazing. It's full of everything. So we're just going to break it down and talk about it. Y'all want to do that? Let's do it. Look at verse 1. Verse 1, I'm not going to read all the verses, but I'm going to read a lot of them today. But right now, listen to this. Now, a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. And this Mary, and I love this, this Mary is the one whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sister sent word to Jesus, Lord, the one you love is sick. Lazarus is sick. When he heard this, Jesus said, the sickness will not end in death. This sickness will not end in death. Keep that in mind. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister, and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed there. When he loved him, so he decided not to go. This is interesting. So he loved him, and he decided what he was going to do. He was going to stay there for two more days. And then he said to his disciples, let us go back to Judea. And one of them said, but Rabbi, you know, it's a short time. We know that they were trying to kill you, all this stuff after that. But I want you to get a picture in your mind and think about this. We have Jesus' friends, intimate friends. I mean, he loves them. He spent time with them. He stayed in their house. These are intimate friends of Jesus. And Jesus hears, gets word that Lazarus is sick. Here's the thing. Jesus is about a day's journey away right now from where Lazarus, Mary, Martha are. So it's going to take an entire day to get there. So when Jesus stays an extra 2 days, now it's a third day. But it's going to be even more than that, because when the messengers left with the message to take to Jesus to say, your friend, the one you love, is sick, that message was not correct by the time it got to Jesus. Because after they left Lazarus, they probably were not too far out of the village down the road when Lazarus died. So it took them an entire day to travel to Jesus to take the message that Lazarus is sick, and yet by the time he gets the message, Lazarus is not sick, Lazarus is dead. And so now, you know, we just want so bad to tell Jesus, can't you be a little better on time? I mean, have you ever felt like he was late? How many of you have ever felt like, I heard of sometimes over here? You ever felt like Jesus was late in your life? You felt like you prayed and he didn't come when you needed him? And that's about ready to happen. And yet, the troubling thing as well as the exciting and miraculous thing is that he did it on purpose. It was not like he was so far away that when he gets the message, he couldn't have just left at the moment. But there's something about to transpire here that's going to bring glory to God, that's going to bring glory to Jesus, and is going to teach not just his disciples, but all the people there. It's going to reveal Jesus in a way that they never imagined. This story is going to end in a way that nobody there expected, not even his disciples. Jesus gets word, and he says to his disciples, this sickness will not end in death. And yet, we know he's dead, right? So, we have to pull back and think about, okay, Jesus said it won't end in death, and yet it did. He's dead. No, story's not over yet. It's not going to end in death. It's going to end in life. And we're going to watch that happen. But Jesus, okay, 2 days later, now he heads on. He's about 3 days heading back toward the village. Martha, you'd have to know if you've studied it. You know Martha's personality. Martha's busy. She's got to be working. She's got to be moving. I'm married to a Martha. I'm a Mary. I can sit back. I can take a nap. Doesn't bother me any. I don't feel like a sinner taking a nap. But I'm married to a Martha. She's all the time moving, going, taking care of this, that. And then, I mean, just like a Energizer bunny, all the time moving. And that's Martha. She's standing maybe at the kitchen window, her heart broken. But she's still thinking about all the Jews, because many of the Jews, they were well known, and many Jews came from Jerusalem, and they were in there comforting, and came into the house, and they were comforting him. Martha's personality was not the kind to sit there and just receive comfort. Martha was in there cooking for the people, probably, that had come. As she's looking, she sees Jesus. He's not even in the village yet, but she sees him coming way down the road. So she just drops everything and runs out the door, and she meets Jesus before he gets in town. Now, look at the passage in verse 17. On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had been in the tomb for 4 days. Now, Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem. This is where the Jews came from. Many of the Jews had come to Martha and to Mary to comfort them in loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him. But Mary stayed at home. Mary's heartbroken. Lord, Martha said to Jesus. It's pretty big right there. She recognizes him as Lord. She knows who he is. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. If you had been here, My brother would not have died. But I know that even now, God will give you whatever. If you had been here, how many of you have been to that place where you feel like the Lord abandoned you in the most vital, maybe heartbreaking, troubling, tragic, traumatic moment of your life? And you sit here today and you're thinking, if he had just been there, that would not have happened. If you had just been here, my husband wouldn't have left. If you had just been here, my wife wouldn't have gone. If you had been here, my child wouldn't have got sick. If you had been here, Lord, my mom wouldn't have died or my dad wouldn't have passed. Lord, if you had just been here, if you had been here, we wouldn't have lost everything financially. You didn't come through. If you had been here, and that's where Martha is, and that's where Mary are. Their hearts are troubled. If you had been here, Lord. But he wasn't. But he wasn't on purpose. There was a purpose behind his delay. And sometimes in our life, we just have to recognize that God's timetable and our timetable are different. And if and when he delays, there's a reason for it, and there is a purpose behind it that is so much bigger than you, that's bigger than me. And the purpose behind that will go down and touch generations beyond you, your kids and your kids' kids, your children and your children's children. And sometimes we are willing to sell out the moment, but he's not. Sometimes we're willing to just sell out the moment so that the moment is comfortable and good. But I am so thankful that I have a Savior that does not give in to my whims and that does not give in to my moments when I just want what I want when I want it. But he knows what's more important, and he knows when the timing is perfect. And so there's Jesus. She's disappointed. We've all been disappointed at moments in Jesus, haven't we? I mean, I hope you haven't. I really do. I hope you haven't. But I'm afraid a lot of us have been. You know, there are people that are not in church today and that won't be here today or in any other church because somewhere along the line they prayed for somebody's healing and that person died and they got angry, and they're disappointed in God. Do you know that there's a lot of atheists, people who claim to be atheists out there who are not atheists at all? They're just disappointed children of God. They were disappointed because God didn't do in the timing that they wanted him to do it the way he wanted to do it. But there's something he understands sometimes that we don't, and that is this world is temporal. All of this that we see right now is temporal. We're leaving here. And that's where he goes next. They begin to this conversation about death. Martha answered, I love this. Look at verse 21. Lord, Martha said, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now, God will give you whatever you ask. I don't know what she had in mind. I don't think it was him raising from the dead in that moment. And we'll find out why as we go along. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha answered, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Well, it's amazing. We see right here that she knows. She knows what the last days are. She knows. She's got her eschatology correct, if you want to look at it like that. She knows what's going to happen in the end, but it's right now that I'm troubled about. And Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. Well, wait a minute, Jesus. I'm the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live. Yes, even though they die. No. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? It's like, I want to, but I'm not even sure what you just said. I really want to believe this, Lord. There's a spiritual blindness that can keep us from understanding death and seeing what Jesus was talking about. The reality that Jesus is revealing here is that death is not the cessation of life. It's not ceasing to exist. When we are born into this world, we will never cease to exist. We are a spirit with a soul that lives in a body. We never cease to exist. And Jesus is making a way that we can live in Him. In the Garden of Eden, when sin came, death came. And we'll talk about that in a minute, but death came into this world. So what Jesus is saying is you have to have my life if you want to truly live. My life will give you the spiritual life. You've been born physically? Yes, you have. But that's not going to be enough. You've got to have my life. And I am the resurrection and the life. Jesus lays it out. Now, we all understand it very plainly. They didn't, it was a little slower for them to grasp. We've heard it every Easter for how long, or read it all the time in the Word. But they didn't. So they're struggling in their mind to grasp all of these things. And so Martha doesn't even, I mean, notice this. Martha doesn't even respond other than she says, well, listen, she says she believes. Yes, Lord, she replied, I believe that you're the Messiah, the Son of God, who is coming to the world. That was it. And now she takes off back to the house. And she's going to go get Mary. And she's going to tell Mary, Jesus wants to talk to you, Mary. It's your turn for him to give you hope like he just gave me hope. In verse 32, when Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and she said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Another disappointed person because of death. And when Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. Where have you laid him? He asked. And then they said, come and see, Lord. And Jesus wept. Verse 35, Jesus wept. Why? You can read from several different commentaries and theologians and get different ideas. But I kind of put myself in the situation to stand right there beside of Jesus and just think. Maybe he's weeping. Maybe he's weeping with them because his heart is broken because it was never meant to be that way. It was never meant for them to suffer the loss of a child. It was never meant for them to suffer the loss of a spouse. It was never meant for them to suffer the loss of a parent. Never meant to be. It was never meant for them to be sick. It was never meant for them to be without, to not have provision. It was never meant to be. Maybe he just stood there and flashed back in his mind thinking, I had so much better for you. I created this world. I created it for you, for me, for us, so that we could walk together. And I wanted nothing more than just to bless your life and let your life go on full, abundantly full. And yet, to have a love relationship, you have to have options. You have to have a choice. Is that right? For those of you that think that you can like control your girl and make her love you, not going to happen. You can put Apple tags on her car and follow her around. Did I say that right? Is Apple tag? Oh, I've never done that to Carla. No. You can put listening devices in. You can hide cameras in the house. You can follow her everywhere she goes. You can try to make her love you. But until you let her go, and by letting her go, I don't mean telling her to leave. I'm saying give her the option. Until you say, I love you and I want you, but I'm not going to make you. And that's what Jesus did in the garden. That's what God did in the garden when he said, I love you, Adam. I love you. I love you, Eve. I love you guys. Adam, I love you so much. I got to give you an option because I want you to love me back. And if you don't have a choice, if you don't have a choice not to love me, it's not love. And if you don't have a choice to choose good over evil, then it's not going to work. I need to give you a choice because I want us to have a relationship. And you were created in my image. And so now, Jesus thinking, maybe, I don't know. I don't know that this happened, but just maybe thinking back. And maybe he's remembering when Adam and Eve sinned and sin came into this world. And because sin came in through them, it passed upon all men, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We've all sinned. Why have we sinned? Somebody might say, but I'm not so sure. We're sinners by nature when we're born into this physical world. We're born sinners by nature. How many of you know that a sinner by nature is going to what? Sin. It's not until that nature is removed and replaced with the nature of Jesus Christ that we have any power over sin. Maybe he remembers that. Maybe he remembers that, and maybe he's thinking, I never wanted this world to be broken. I never wanted sin to control this world. I never wanted you to have to deal with these things. And maybe he's weeping because he sees what sin has done to them, but also maybe he's also thinking about the future. He's thinking that to fix this thing, I've got to go to the cross to fix what's broken. A price has to be paid. Somebody's got to pay it. And maybe he's looking ahead to the cross, thinking the time is coming. And what I'm about to do is fix one man's situation. What I'm about to do is fix the situation for a couple of my dear friends, Mary and Martha. But the time is going to come that he's going to fix your situation if you will believe in him. And so Jesus now comes to that next place in this story that I think is absolutely amazing. We've seen delay. We've seen disappointment. We've heard conversations about death, and we've seen confusion. We've seen all of these things. But now, we're about ready to see something powerful. And I love the way Jesus does this. Come and look at verse 35. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, see how he loved them? But some of them said, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying? Again, Mary, Martha, the Jews, all disappointed because they've seen him. Listen to me. They've seen him heal bodies. Some of them, evidently not the ones right here, saw him raise the dead a couple times, but not after 4 days. Not after 4 days. Jesus, once more, deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. Take away the stone, he said. But the Lord said, Lord said, Martha, listen to this, the sister of the dead man, by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been there for 4 days. Now, Carl and I could be crime scene investigators. If you ever need one, call us. We figure these shows out before they even turn it loose good. We already know who's done it, what they did, how they did it. And so we know that 4 days in to somebody who dies, they stink. 4 days in, decay has started. 4 days in, the body has started to decay. And as the body starts to decay, the flesh starts to decay. And there are it starts to decay. That's all you need to know right now. You don't want to know more than that yet. And so I see Martha struggling in this moment. She wants to believe. Jesus says, move the stone. This is just a foreshadowing, guys. Jesus says, move the stone. And Martha's sitting there, she wants to believe. And in this struggle inside of her, have you ever struggled sometimes? You want to believe, but you're struggling. Have you ever been there? And she's struggling at the moment because she knows this is going to be horrible. All of these mourners are around here. I mean, you think they had tons of mourners. This went on for 7 days. And just in case they ran out, they would hire mourners. I mean, think about this. We had your funeral and we found out nobody was coming. Maybe 3 or 4 people. Nobody really liked you. That wasn't the case with Lazarus, but that's the case with some of you. But no, I'm kidding. But think about this. So you have to go out and hire people who do not even know the person who has passed to say, hey, will you guys come in here and will you just kind of cry and wail for a few days and, you know, just at least to give the appearance that this person was loved. Okay, that was the situation. They would hire them to come in. People are mourning, but there were genuine mourners there because these people were very well known. And as they're mourning, I think she's thinking, if this stone gets moved and he and Jesus doesn't raise him up right now, it's going to be bad. It's going to be a bad situation. And it's going to be embarrassing. But not only that, I don't know if my heart can handle it. I love my brother. And I don't know that I can handle living with this stench that will never leave me of his decaying body. I just don't know. And so she's right there at this point. I don't know what to do. And Jesus is going to take the decision out of her hands. Because he's going to do what he's going to do here. And so Mary's struggle, it's over. Look at what Jesus did. Then Jesus said, did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. When he said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. And the dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped in strips of linen and cloth around his face. Can you get this picture? Y'all with me right here? You with me? Lazarus, come out. And Lazarus goes, it's awesome. I'm alive. I'm alive. He's really going, he is ready to get back to life. The power of God was shown in this moment. The power of God over death. Jesus foreshadowing what's about to come when he goes into the grave 3 days later, conquering death and hell, raising up from the dead so that he can save you and I. That's awesome. But I think it's interesting that Jesus looks at the people and he said, in other words, I gave him life. I made him alive. I resurrected him. And I'm going to do that for all of you who believe. But here's what I need you to do. I need you to help take his grave clothes off. See, the grave clothes represented stuff that was still hanging around when he was dead, though he's alive now. The grave clothes represented those things in all of our lives that though we are made fully and completely alive and we are fully and completely forgiven and Jesus' nature now is in us, not a sin nature anymore, but there's still some of those things that were lingering around while we were dead. There are some of those thoughts that we used to think while we were dead. There's some of those grave clothes, some of those things that were weaknesses, besetting sins that were there while we were dead, that we still have the capacity, not because we have a sin nature. No, we don't have it anymore when we're born again, but we still have the capacity to sin because we have a soul that was trained to sin, our mind, our will, and our emotions. Trained. And Jesus said, take his grave clothes off. That's why you need a church family. That's why we need each other. Because I got some weaknesses that I need you to help me with. I deal with some things that I need you to help me with. You deal with some things that you need me to help you with. And we can help each other take the grave clothes off so that we can live and live in him. I don't know what your situation is today. But if you are here and you have never opened your heart to the life of Jesus, you're dead. You're dead. But Jesus said, if you'll believe in me, you can live. Now, we still have to die a physical death because death means not cessation, not at all, but separation. Death means separation. In the Garden of Eden, they were separated from their relationship with God. They were separated from the spiritual life of God. And that ended up having a grave effect on their body in this world. But when we're born again, though one day we will put off these bodies and our spirit and soul will be separated from the bodies again, we'll never be separated from the Lord again. Spiritual life. Spiritual life and in his presence and forevermore. If you have never trusted Jesus as your Savior, you can do that today. You can leave here today alive instead of dead. You can leave here today with his resurrection power in you instead of death. You can leave here today with a hope that you've never had before. Hope meaning a confident expectation that Jesus will and can do what he says he will and can do. Would you bow your heads with me for a moment? If you are here today and you have never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you've never been born again, you've never asked the Lord to come into your life, we want to give you that opportunity this morning. And this for people at home that are watching, for those in overflow right now, and for the people in this room, I want to ask this question. Is there anybody here today that would just, I'm not going to ask you to come up here. I know it's crazy crowded in here. You can get saved right where you're at. But is anybody here today, I want to raise your hand and say, bud, I want you to pray. And I'll pray along with you because I want to be saved today. I want to receive Jesus today. I want to be made alive in Christ Jesus today. Would you just raise your hand in this room anywhere? God bless you. Anybody else? God bless you, honey. Yes. Anybody else? God bless you. Man, hands raised up all over the house today. And I don't know, maybe an overflow too, and maybe at home. But church, we're going to do what we do. Y'all ready? Pray with us. And if you will pray this prayer, those of you raise your hand, if you will pray this prayer and you will believe this, if you truly believe Jesus, that's what happens. Believe along with us with this prayer. Pray it out loud with us. The church is going to pray out loud too, so you're not alone. Lord Jesus, I am a sinner in need of a Savior. You went to the cross and you rose again to pay the price for my sin. You are that Savior. So right now, I receive the forgiveness. I confess you as my Savior. In this moment, I receive you as my Lord. I am a child of God. I am a part of the family of God. Right now and forevermore, I am saved, a child of the King. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand. Let's stand and sing. And if you need to come up for any kind of prayer while we're doing this, you're welcome to come.